Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, and then the final amendment is Commissioner Novick's amendment with respect to the Police Bureau. Further discussion there?
Colleagues, with regard to the Drugs and Vice Division, we had a conversation with the Drugs and Vice Division where the captain said that approximately half of their investigations relate to drugs, but also other crimes such as violent crimes. He said that approximately half their work is they are going after drug dealers. Because they are drug dealers, other crimes are not involved. 40 years of experience and research related to the war on drugs indicates that arresting drug dealers simply because they are drug dealers is not an effective strategy, that if you get rid of one drug dealer, another one pops up. As long as there is a demand, there will be a supply. So I think that it is appropriate to reduce the amount of resources that we're dedicating to an ineffective strategy. I also am partly compelled to offer this amendment because 26 firefighters have been told that towards the end of next year, they could lose their jobs. And I think that the work those firefighters perform is more valuable than chasing drug dealers. So I prefer to put the two bureaus to some extent on a level playing field going into next year, because I would rather preserve several firefighter jobs than preserve all of these drugs and vice positions. The rest of the amendment relates to command staff. Commissioner Fish and I oversaw a committee which investigated span of control issues throughout the city. That means that we were looking to see if there were supervisors who don't supervise very many people. And particularly, we were focused on supervisors who supervise three people or fewer. And our human resources analyst went and visited with all of the bureaus, and there were issues with a lot of bureaus. But most of the bureaus indicated that they recognized that there were span of control issues which they were willing to work on. The Police Bureau did not seem particularly concerned with the span of control issues, and our researcher identified 23 command or management positions that could be eliminated and 6 supervisory positions that could be reclassified in furtherance of getting larger spans of control. And what this amendment does is make a very modest move towards implementing those suggestions. In the personnel division, there is a lieutenant to whom only 2 sergeants report. So we are suggesting making that position one time, phasing it out after this next year. I also discovered in research comparing command staff positions in the past and currently that in 1993, we had 8 captains and a police force about the size that it is now. We now have 13. That's a pretty significant percentage increase when you've got a police bureau as a whole that is staying pretty much level. I noted that in 1993, we did not have a captain heading up the records division, and it doesn't seem appropriate or necessary to have a sworn captain heading up a records division, which in the past has been occupied by a civilian. So I'm suggesting making that position one time as well. It is my assumption that over the course of the next year, there'll be enough in the course of normal business retirements that this amendment would not cause any layoffs. These positions will be phased out by attrition.
Well, let me comment on a number of things about this, Commissioner Novick. First of all, we as a council act in several capacities. We were talking with our guests about our unique form of government, and this is one way in which we express that. We are each leaders of our own bureaus and CEOs for the bureaus that we lead, and that's an important role that each of us play. We're also a policy body that adopts budgets and policy, which we do here, but we're also a board of directors, and why I think, although I don't support the proposed amendment, it's always appropriate for us as a council to look carefully at everything that we do in all of our bureaus, regardless of turf. So that's why I appreciate the spirit of you raising these issues and raising these questions. And it's okay for us to raise uncomfortable questions about how we do business so that we can think about it, consider alternatives, and improve. And that's something that I know our staff supports, but definitely sometimes makes people nervous. But it's a role that we should play. However, for a number of reasons, I don't want to make this move now. That is, there are allocations of work in the police bureau that I want to carefully consider and in some cases reconsider. We should be doing more in traffic safety than we're doing today. And although the police bureau proposed an amendment to the budget to add additional officers for traffic safety, we ultimately have not included that in the budget before us. But I do want to see, look for ways and means by which we assign more officers to do more work in traffic safety, because we killed 35 people with cars last year and we had 16 homicides. So obviously traffic safety is a critical public safety issue. The chief's here, he knows this. His leadership knows this, and the traffic division comes in here and explains the ways and means of how they're trying to address it, but we're not doing enough. Secondly, you've raised legitimate questions about the role of the Drugs and Vice Division and the efficacy of what we're doing, and I want to carefully look at those questions and, again, carefully re-examine what we do. But I think it's important in this budget that we provide some stability and some assurance to our bureaus that have been through some difficult budgets, not just last year, but a series of budgets in which we cut the workforce. The police bureau 10 years ago was 100 positions stronger than it is today. Last year, we cut 50 positions out of the police bureau budget. Then this budget, we're adding back, I think we cut a total of 142 positions last year, total citywide. We're adding back 42 positions to our workforce. Cut 142 last year, we're adding back 42. Most of those are in parks because we're converting part-time positions to full-time. That's great. There's some associated with the tree code. There are a few others here and there, including in my office. But we're adding precisely one position to the police bureau and precisely one position to the fire bureau. We're adding a safety chief and an equity position to the police bureau, and I think both of those send important signals to our workforce, that equity is a council commitment in the police bureau and that safety is a priority for our firefighters. Now, I share your concern about the risk of reduction of positions in the fire bureau because we're under a two-year grant to support those 26 positions, and I'd like us to look at all of our options between now and the next year's budget. But we don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul now. We can give these bureaus this kind of stability with the budget that's in front of us. And that's why, although I appreciate you raising the questions, I'm not prepared to support the motion.
Mayor, could I jump in and ask some questions of my colleagues? This budget note, which I think I saw for the first time this morning, really unpacks as three issues, as Commissioner Novick has said. It raises a policy question about to what extent is the war on drugs working and how should our bureau respond to it. It has a follow-up component around the span of control study, and it brings the question of firefighters and what happens post-SAFER grant into sharp relief. And it would be helpful for me just to have some clarity about next steps on two of the three issues that have been put on the table. The first is span of control. Mayor, the report has been promulgated. As Commissioner Novick has mentioned, the one area where we had some difficulty getting information was with the police bureau. The report's now on your desk. What is your intention in terms of looking at the span of control data that we've documented, and could you give the council a sense of a timeline for some further action on that particular recommendation?
Yeah, we're beginning a staffing study in the police bureau. Timeline on completion of that is October, Chief, is that correct? So well before we begin work on the next budget, we will have gotten the next level of detail on how the police bureau is staffed, which is really a follow-on to that span of control study, which was a numerical examination more than qualitative. This one is both qualitative and quantitative. So that work will be delivered to the council by this fall.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. And secondly, Mayor, we had a evening budget forum recently, had a number of firefighters come out and testify. I believe at some point in the evening, and you'll correct me if I got this wrong, it was a long day, that you said that your either intent or goal was to have no layoffs.
That's correct.
I think you made that commitment. Now, in order to accomplish that, council is going to have to come up with some combination of new resources and perhaps changes in the existing budget of the fire bureau and perhaps foreseen or unforeseen retirements to honor that pledge. Do you have a sense of when the council will next take up that issue and begin to sort of plan for the end of the next fiscal year?
Well, I might get Commissioner Saltzman's guidance on this as well, but the SAFER grant actually is not synchronous with our own budget timeline. We have an extra 6 months, right, under the SAFER grant. So we have the chance for the next full budget process to be carried out with this in mind before we run out the clock on the SAFER grant. So it sounds like to me we have a year to figure this out. That's my shorthand characterization of this. Dan, what do you think?
You're absolutely correct. The SAFER grant does extend, I think, 6 months beyond our next budget.
Right, January 2016. Yeah.
Well, in the spirit, Mayor, of what we've done with some of Commissioner Fritz's budget amendments, I wonder, could on the question of firefighters, staffing, and budget, could we have a commitment that this will be addressed substantively in the fall bump, if for no other reason than to have a placeholder and a chance to have that discussion and begin the process of evaluating options?
I'm certainly open to considering it in the fall bump. I don't know how others feel. But
I'm not saying we'd resolve it, my sense is if we have an aspiration that it would come back to us through a formal process, then that gives us a chance to begin to think about the source of funds, including any changes within the existing fire budget, and how much we would be generating to meet the pledge of a no layoff outcome.
Yeah, I guess the other thing I would put an asterisk on or remind us about is that in both of these bureaus, both these big public safety bureaus, we have programmatic questions to answer. Like, how do we do more in terms of traffic enforcement? What's the right response on drugs? Legitimate questions deserve in-depth work, and the staffing study at the police bureau is one way that the council will get management information back to us about those choices. Likewise, in the fire bureau, we already have a budget note, which Commissioner Saltzman is prepared to carry out, which is figure out our role, what our role is going to be for the next 10 years in emergency medical service because of the enormous changes we think are underway because of the Affordable Care Act. We are the only unreimbursed party to emergency medical response. Everybody else gets paid somehow, Medicaid, ambulance companies, you know, and we're the one party that shows up at every incident and doesn't get paid for it. Is that going to be the reality for the next 10 years? I certainly hope not. But exactly how we pay for that and what positions are funded what way, we don't know yet. And fortunately, we have a year to work with the county and others to start digging into those questions, which is why we have this budget note here. So I think in both cases, we have just both the numerical question of how do we afford to keep the firefighters that we want to keep and how do we afford to keep the police officers that we want to keep, and what are they going to be doing and how are we getting paid for that work?
Andrew, when is our fall bump scheduled for?
The fall bump would come back to council in late October or early November. And it is worth noting the budget note the mayor references does direct the fire bureau to report back on its recommendations around emergency medical services in a council work session prior to December 31st, 2014. That would be another opportunity in that work session, either in the fall bump or in that work session, to have a broader conversation about fire staffing.
So without, I don't feel the need, Mayor, to actually pin this down other than to just get a sense of the body, a commitment that somewhere between the fall bump and the budget note timeline, we'd have two conversations with fire, one about the medical savings and two about options for funding those firefighter positions.
I'm very willing to make that commitment in terms of having a council work session on that subject as soon as we've got the information.
And with respect to span of control and recognizing that sometimes reports get pushed out a little bit just because of logistics of doing these ambitious things, would it be your intention after this the staffing study is done with respect to police in October, November, that we would have some formal council process to receive that information and discuss it?
Yes, and I think, again, it kind of calls out for a work session, not simply a pro forma presentation at council, but have the chance for us to ask questions, and I assume there's a consultant involved, bring the consultant, just as we did with the Office of Management and Finance report that we just received. We sat here around this table with the consultant and with Fred Miller and looked hard at what they suggested, and that's exactly the kind of environment that we ought to have on this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, other discussion? Then a roll call on that amendment.
Fish.
I appreciate Commissioner Novick bringing this budget note forward, and throughout our budget cycle, he has been a focus laser-like on this question of how are we doing on the so-called war on drugs, and based on the data that he's brought forward, not so great, and secondarily, what does a modern police force need in terms of resources to address the underlying problem, and how should our dollars be spent? in a cost-effective way. And I deeply appreciate that he's begun this conversation. For purposes of this amendment, I guess I'm not comfortable through a budget note resolving that question, because I think there's further discussion and debate that needs to happen. And I am inclined not to support it, also in part based on the discussion we just had, where there will be a substantive discussion of the council on the span of control issues and the firefighter layoff issues this fall, which are issues of great concern to this council. So for all those reasons, I vote no.
Saltzman.
Well, I also appreciate Commissioner Novick for raising this issue. I guess I think the span of control issues are important and need to be addressed. With respect to the Drugs and Vice Division, I'm not prepared at this time to support converting these positions to one time. While the literature may say the war on drugs is a failure, I guess when I read about a house where people are arrested and too often, all too often, kids are around drugs, whether it's meth or marijuana, and even if it's marijuana, which most people consider pretty innocuous in Oregon these days, there's usually lots of guns and other things around as well. So I'm concerned about children and the environments of drug houses, and I think that there's a continued role here for Drugs and Vice, at least for the time being. I'm certainly willing to take a closer look at this, but I'm always going to be looking at it through the lens of how it impacts the safety and well-being of our children. So I vote no.
Novick.
First of all, I very much appreciate the mayor's cordial response to my offering an amendment to mess with one of his bureaus. I very much appreciate that. And I appreciate the mayor's concern for traffic enforcement. And actually, I'd be very much open to the idea of moving some of the Drugs and Vice positions to traffic enforcement. And perhaps if this amendment were to pass, dividing up the savings among sort of a reserve fund for the firefighter positions and for traffic enforcement. On the issue of the prospect that health reform might lead to our firefighters and actually BOEC being paid for medical response, I very much hope that that will happen. My understanding from talking to private health insurers is that that will probably only happen if Medicare takes the lead, that the private insurance market tends to sort of take its cue from what Medicare does. So I hope we have an opportunity to have a discussion with Senator Wyden, who is now in a position where he has a great deal of control over Medicare, and the Medicare will move to a model where they pay on a capitated basis for emergency medical services, including fire and 911 and ambulances, and we divide the money appropriately. But that's something that, if it's happening, there hasn't been much noise about it, and I intend to talk to Senator Wyden about it the first opportunity. I doubt that it's something that will happen within the next year. On the issue of the reductions the police have taken recently, they have taken reductions. I believe, however, that the overall police force is about 2.2% lower now than it was in 1993, and serious crime has gone down by over 30% since 1993. And I think that at some point we should have a discussion about, have we had a reasoned reaction to the decline of crime over the past 20 years? If you talk to Chief Reese, he will say that their role has changed with the decline in crime. But I think that we should have a discussion about whether it's been sort of a strategic change. Have we ever asked the question, crime is down by over 30%, how does our police force reform itself in response to that? So I think that would be an interesting topic for a work session. As to Commissioner Saltzman's point about drug houses, the Drugs and Vice Unit has a drug house coordinator, and I believe that neighborhood response teams and the precinct officers tend to deal with drug houses. The Drugs and Vice Division focuses its resources on arresting mid- and high-level drug dealers, and it's there where the evidence of the past 40 years suggests that when you arrest one drug dealer, another one takes their place as long as the demand is there. So I appreciate the tenor of the discussion, and I vote aye.
Fritz. So the budget is the one time that we are supposed to mess with each other's bureaus, or at least look at all of the bureaus and make comments and look at the operations and the line items. And I appreciate Commissioner Novick for bringing this forward, because we've had lots of discussion in this budget about not only Drugs and Vice, the Traffic Division, span of control, but also Mounted Patrol. And the mayor is choosing to fund Mounted Patrol again this year because it was a two-year deal last year. There was no such deal for next year. So I appreciate that the Police Bureau has made great savings in overtime since Commissioner Saltzman and I asked them to as part of our budget committee. I actually don't see this amendment as taking away stable funding. It merely says that we would like to see some further economies in the Police Bureau. I have not yet committed to keeping all of the firefighters next year, and so I think that it would be appropriate to, since the fire and police take most of our budget, or at least half of the general fund budget, that we should put the Police Bureau on notice that we're expecting to see some, or hoping to see some efficiencies. And so for those reasons, I vote aye.
Else?
No. Thank you for a good discussion. The amendment fails. And now I believe that we need to take a motion to adopt.
So at this point, we need a motion and a second, essentially for the Budget Committee to put the entire package, attachments B, C, and D, as well as these amendments that passed on the table.
Is there a second? Further discussion? And a roll call to accept that motion and can, open the public hearing.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay. Public testimony. Thank you. All right. So now let's call for public testimony, please.
We have 12 people signed up. Will the first three come up, please? And then I'll read the next names. Marianne Fitzgerald, Tom Lewis, Shoshana Cohen. They'll be followed by LaVon Heaster, Beth Kerwin, and Liza Stiller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald. I'm the president of Southwest Neighborhoods. And I want to thank you for their ongoing support for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's community engagement programs. We especially thank Mayor Hales for reinstating the Neighborhood Small Grants program in his budget, not just one-time fees, but ongoing funds. I really appreciate that we have some certainty for planning in the future for more projects within our community. Sweeney works with about 500 volunteers each year to support citizen involvement. And we've secured funding for playgrounds, for murals, through the fiscal year 2011-12 Neighborhood Small Grant Program, a small investment of $23,000 in this project leveraged over $111,000. And so we are continually seeing fourfold, fivefold increase in the amount of resources that these grants bring to our community. It's a very high priority for ONI's Bureau Advisory Committee. And I wanted to also speak in favor of ONI's Diversity and Civic Leadership Program to build capacity with several communities of color, the immigrant and refugee organizations. This helps to train these people in terms of more effective engagement, and so all of the bureaus can benefit from the programs that the DCLs offer. So we are able to work with them more effectively in the partnership with the small grants, and we just really want to thank you for investing in the people infrastructure because that's just as important as the brick and mortar projects. So thanks for your ongoing support of the Neighborhood Small Grants Program, and we look forward to working with you more in the future.
Thanks, Marianne. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I'm Shoshana Cohen, the Executive Director of the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. I have somewhat similar remarks. And I want to start by thanking all of you for your ongoing support of Portland's community engagement system. Your support of ONI's many programs, both the district coalitions, the diversity and civic leadership programs, really help to strengthen and amplify community voices and get people involved even when they can't come downtown and participate in forums like these. And ultimately, that we all know that strengthens our city. I also want to specifically thank Mayor Hales for reinstating the Small Grants Program in your proposed budget. This is a really tiny program that has a really huge ripple effect. We're able to take a very small amount of money and use huge amounts of volunteer labor to implement community-driven solutions for community-identified problems. Our projects range from celebrations that help neighbors get to know each other and ultimately make their neighborhood safer, to, we had this year, a pollinator protection program. We have youth leadership development programs. They really span just a huge variety of programs that we fund with $1,000 or $2,000 and tons of volunteer time, as well as a lot of in-kind supplemented donations. And each initiative is different, but one common thread is the creation of partnerships. And these bring a huge amount of new partnerships, both to the coalitions as well as to the neighborhood associations with additional community-based organizations in our communities. And these partnerships continue to bolster our civic engagements long after the initial $1,000 project is over. So they have just, again, a huge ongoing life. I could go on and on, but I only have a minute and 23 seconds left, about the importance of neighborhood small grants. But instead, I also want to focus for a minute on the ONI BAC's top sort of funding priority at the moment of about $200,000, which I believe is just, I think, about $60,000 more than what is currently in the budget. And this would be enough both to fund all of those amazing small grants programs and also to increase capacity for the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program. As the coalitions are continually working extremely hard to bring more and more people into the neighborhood system, we know that we need our partners, the diversity and civic leadership partners, to also engage in culturally specific civic engagement work so that we can all work more strongly together and really have equitable access to City Hall. And then finally, I want to completely switch gears and just quickly on behalf of the NECN board, thank you for providing the funding for the implementation of the city's new tree policy. And I actually just realized that it was fully funded. I thought it was only partially funded. So thank you very much. Just last week, our board voted to ask you to do that. And so I can tell them that it's done. So thanks again for all your support of the neighborhoods.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
And the next three are LaVon Heaster, Beth Kerwin, Lisa Stiller. They'll be followed by Cliff Goldman, Camilio Marquet, and Lightning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm pretty short, but apparently not that short. Hello, my name is LaVon Heaster, and I am the vice chair on the Portland Commission on Disability. I'm here representing them today. There were many commissioners who wanted to be here but could not. We would like to put forth our support for a position that was an administrative staff position asked for by the Office of Equity and Human Rights. The office has been growing in its programs, and I know as the Portland Commission on Disability has had the support of the office, we have been expanding what we do, and we've also discovered how much our work is needed because we're actually starting at just beginning to let people know what the needs are in the disability community. Even within the disability community, many of us don't know what the needs are, and people don't know across disabilities, and so we're doing a lot of really great work. But there's more and more work being put into the office, not just our program. There's the Human Rights Commission. There is policy work being done. There's education and training being done all over the city and also with city partners. And these positions are not having the administrative support needed. There's one administrative support whose job is to support the director, but she also has been doing many other things, and we need more support. I know I personally put in volunteer hours of 15 to 40 hours per month to support my commission work, and I could use some more support so that I can continue to do the work that I do on the Public Outreach and Awareness Subcommittee. So I think it would be great to get an administrative support person in there, because I also believe, having worked for the county as a social worker, when I was busy typing things out and creating documents, that was not a good use of a social worker paid position. And I believe the same thing goes for the Office of Equity and Human Rights. As their work expands, having people doing administrative work who are being paid at program coordinators is not a good use of our funding.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, Good morning. My name is Beth Kerwin. I'm representing Healthcare for All Oregon. We sent you, Mayor Hales, a letter on April 8th requesting a meeting and did not receive a response. Our organization consists of over 90 organizations and 8,000 supporters that believe healthcare is a human right. Our group aims to create comprehensive, equitable, affordable, public-funded healthcare. I'm sorry, publicly funded, high-quality, universal healthcare. We are concerned at the lack of transparency around the renaming of Civic Stadium after Providence Healthcare Services. We take issue with the lack of disclosure when a health insurance company pays a large amount for premiums and publicizes themselves while premiums rise and healthcare quality and access remain limited. In order to provide transparency to the public regarding Providence priorities for spending, we are requesting that the city publicly disclose the amount that Providence spent for the naming rights to the stadium in accordance with Section 9.1 of the Stadium Operating Agreement with Peregrine Sports, dated in March 2010. It is under the Oregon Public Records Law, and we'd like you to disclose that. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, thanks for your advocacy, and actually one of my staff is standing by the column there. If you would talk with him, we'll make sure we get a response to you. Sorry we didn't respond earlier.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
Hello and good morning. My name is Lisa Stiller, and I'm going to differ a little bit from Beth, but the same idea. As Portland is the owners of Civic Stadium, and I know the operation falls within your budget, we thought we'd come here with the concern that, you know, we supporters of Healthcare for All Oregon have been concerned about the tens of millions that are being spent by insurance companies in general on naming rights for stadiums. When Moda announced that they paid $40 million for the naming rights to the Rose Garden, we made our concerns very public. And Providence's disclosure in early February that they had bought the naming rights to the Timber Stadium for an undisclosed amount once again raised similar concerns about huge amounts of money being spent for advertising versus what should be spent for patient care. We feel people paying premiums to Providence and the general public have every right to know just how much of their payments are going to advertising, money that's not going to patient care. This includes money that's not going to maintaining and improving employee benefits and towards help for those unable to afford the bills for their care. And I want to add here, having been a patient of Providence and walking around the halls, you see all the concern for the poor Providence has, yet this amount of money could easily some have been spent for caring for, you know, paying their bills or helping people. The contract signed for the naming rights between Providence and Peregrine went through the city at some point, the city being the owner of Civic Stadium. The parties involved agreed that the amount paid would remain undisclosed, despite the fact that this does violate Oregon's public records law. We wrote a letter to the mayor requesting a meeting to discuss the issue and received no response. We went to the mayor's office requesting a meeting or an appointment for a meeting. We were told a staff assistant would get back to us by the end of the week, but only received an email response when we called to remind them of our request. And in this email, they claimed they simply don't know the amount. We were told, as were the media, that the mayor is too busy with more important priorities. But finding this information, if the mayor's office does not have it, should take little more than a phone call. We feel that the city, being the owners of the stadium, at some point must have had some knowledge or have some knowledge of what was being paid. And as residents of the Portland area, as patients and premium payers of Providence, we feel we have a right to know how much of our health care dollars are going towards acquiring the naming rights to Civic Stadium. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Mayor, if I might just provide some historical context. The contract that first changed Civic Stadium to Geldwin Field wasn't to change it to Geldwin Field. It was with Peregrine Sports. And it specified some parameters for what the naming rights could be or specifically what they couldn't sell. I remember tobacco was one of the items that they couldn't have on as the name, but it didn't include the city as a third party in that naming right. So my understanding, because I have asked on behalf of a different constituent, is that the city doesn't have that information, that it's not public record, and I certainly don't know that answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
The next three are Cliff Goldman, Camilo Marquez, Lightning. They'll be followed by Linda Castillo, Crystal Alinsky, and Laddie Reed.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Cliff Goldman. I'm a speech pathologist and a precinct committee person for Multnomah County Democrats. I volunteer for Jobs with Justice and Healthcare for All Oregon. And Mayor Hales and the commission. We believe that there should be a single-payer universal publicly funded health care in Oregon, everybody in, nobody out. Even with the Affordable Care Act, everyone will not be able to get health care. Even those who have health insurance cannot always afford to go to the doctor due to too high deductibles, co-pays, and premiums. Now, insurance companies consider paying health benefits as a loss. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? The medical loss ratio. They need to make more money than they pay out. Now, Moda Insurance paid $40 million to rename the Rose Garden the Moda Center. Doing this wasn't popular with the public. Think of the health coverage that could have been provided if the Blazers were still playing in the Rose Garden. Providence renamed Jen Wells Stadium to Providence Park. Think of the additional health care benefits that could be provided for the money that Providence paid to rename the Timber Stadium. How much more? We don't know, as Providence won't tell us and won't let us know. A probable astronomical amount. Embarrassed? Healthcare for All Oregon protested at Providence Park on opening night of the timber season. The best chant of the evening came from someone in the crowd. You know what it was? Lower premiums, don't name stadiums. Lower premiums, don't name stadiums. How much lower could they be? We don't know because Providence is not letting us know what they paid for the renaming. It's embarrassing, unjustifiable, and a breach of an agreement with the city. We want to know. Now, as Commissioner Fritz just said, maybe there's a reason why you don't have to know, but we really want to know this because it's important. People, in fact, right after the Moda Center was named the Moda Center, a guy wrote a letter to the editor and he said, you know, I went to the dentist and it cost me $300. I had to pay $120. I guess to see my money, I have to go to the Moda Center. That's where the money is for health care. It seems like maybe you don't have that information, but I think it behooves you to find out what they paid, because actually that money could be used to lower premiums and not name stadiums. Lower premiums and not name stadiums. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I represent Think Lightning Company. My name is Lightning. The Portland Housing Bureau budget approximately, say, $90 million to $103 million. Again, I think that's adequate to cover what you basically have in the budget, but we need more development dollars, more resources toward development. If we have 1,500 chronically homeless people out on the sidewalks, in the doorways, we need to get them into housing. If studies show that it costs $30,000 in publicly funded expenses per person, that's $45 million a year we're losing. We get them into housing, we're going to cut those costs down tremendously. If we have 1,500 people out there and we want to try to develop, say, micro apartments at $100,000 per unit, we're talking $150 million we need to come up with. We need to offer more incentives to the developers. We need to keep them at the table. We currently have 23,000 permitted units that will come online. There's only approximately 430 affordable housing units. We have a shortage of 1,500 affordable housing units that we need to come up with some type of resources and have the developers build these units and get the chronic homelessness people into these housing units. It's a mental health issue. It's their safety issue. It's longevity of life issue. This is the number one priority in this city, is to end chronic homelessness throughout Portland, Multnomah County. It can be a reality. It's happened in Utah. It's happened in other states. It can happen. We need to just focus on developing more units to get people into housing. It saves the city more money. Businesses will increase their revenue. Publicly funded services will begin to decrease. All the data, all the studies show that. Again, we have business licenses pulling in $82 million. I want to see more funding directed toward the Portland Housing Bureau from that direction. Again, I'm proposing on the Google franchise fee of the 5%, I'd like to see 50% of that funded toward the Portland Housing Bureau toward development. And one other issue on the Randy Leonard code violation request for additional funds. I find it a little difficult to understand how if one person has a problem with their unit, all the other units have to be inspected. That falls under the landlord-tenant laws. Certain people may not want that to happen, and I think we need to look at that very closely because it shouldn't be across the board. That's a case-by-case analysis, and I don't think there should be any additional funding for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, please. Okay.
And the next three are Linda Castillo, Crystal Linsky, and Laddie Reed.
Good morning and welcome. Linda, I think you're on first.
I am. Well, good morning, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Linda Castillo, and I'm the Director of Civic Engagement and Participation and Leadership Programs over at Latino Network. Latino Network has been an original participant in the Communities Connect project of ONI, which led to the development of DCL partnership, which we are also an original partner. We are now, thanks to the city partnership, building capacity among Latino community in Portland to engage in important city issues and participate in numerous work groups, boards, commissions, advocacy efforts that shape city policy and engage community in ways and ways that we were otherwise left out. First, we'd like to thank you for keeping the vital city partnership in the proposed budget. For many, this is the only avenue that engages the population we do. We know you see the value in this important program. While we are very appreciative, we also must point out that on behalf of these same people, there still remains a very large and noticeable equity gap in resources when comparing the work and engagement of the seven neighborhood coalitions. The seven coalitions receive approximately $2 million annually for neighborhood-based engagement. The five DCL partners, which must work citywide, receive $423,000 annually, and this is only 21% of the coalition's allocation currently. The gap here is huge. More than $200,000 less per each partner, and this year ONI requested movement closer to parity, something that has been attempted for the last 8 years. In this budget, we asked for $350,000 to bring us closer to parity with the neighborhood coalitions, something we've been asking for the last 8 years. And instead, we received $40,000 for this process development, moving us in this direction, while the neighborhood coalitions received $140,000 in additional ongoing community grants. While we support grants to the coalitions, we must point out the glaring disparity. The neighborhood coalition addition of $140,000 for outgoing funds supports the expanded capacity, and $40,000 in one-time allocation does not build the same capacity among the DCL partners. This actually increases the equity gap among neighborhood coalitions and DCL partners. And in a time when the city is rapidly changing in demographics and becoming more multicultural, the gap makes it that much harder to provide voice and access to the important work in the city. Time after time, as council, you have voiced and demonstrated your commitment to equity and providing voice to our city in the most unrepresented and vulnerable of this community. We urge you to continue in this work and reconsider the gap for underrepresented voices, or moving us closer to a more equitable allocation, and demonstrate your value of community engagement in all for all people. Again, we appreciate your continuation of the existing resource and for partnering with organizations like Latino Network and other ODCL partners. And we hope to work with you to continue to build community and capacity among communities of color. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Crystal Lelinsky, and I represent 10,000 Maniacs. It is budget time again, and I've just noticed that compared to last year, when there was a lot of criticism in the media of the cuts that seemed arbitrary and awfully limiting, were changed when there was another balance and funding found that we could use later. And I'm hoping that happens again this year, though that would be a fluke and a mistake. We have again cut a lot of great agencies that it just depresses me to find out about. I mean, one of them, the Regional Arts Council. I was really surprised to see that go, but a few years ago, I worked with the Center for Intercultural Organizing, and we worked really hard to get our advocacy through and all of the work that we had been successful on and how we needed the continuing grants, but we didn't get it. So I know it happens, and it seems a bit arbitrary, but every year we get the same funding for emergency services, the police and fire, and they also have funding from the federal and the state. So I wonder why we don't work with proven agencies that could bring in a more visible change to, like we were talking with the healthcare group, Lightning, and Ms. Castillo here, underrepresented groups. We know that some of these agencies work very hard on very little money, and if you could just find it to give them a little bit of money, you might actually see better results than the harassment of the police, at least in my neighborhood, where I don't see any improvement. If that money was given to the Boys and Girls Club and other groups like CIO, it would go much further. I learned today, I always learn something when I come here from the citizens that take their time, that MODA paid $4 million for the naming rights, and it's pretty shocking to me. That's my insurance company, and I always wondered why they changed their name. It used to be ODS, and I think, oh, maybe it's because the name sounds like odious. I think it's just odious how we throw money. If you look at the agenda today, we are talking about the budget, but we're also talking about intergovernmental agencies and grants, things that we promise, like the universities, that, again, this kind of money could be given to smaller nonprofits or on-the-ground work like R2D2, and it would go much, much further. So why don't we start looking at the intergovernmental agreements along with the budget and try to figure out a better budget for next year? I know that I can't say much because you already voted the budget in.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome. Good afternoon. Good morning, still.
This is Laddie Reed.
I came a week ago.
You came a week ago?
Yeah. I gave him a letter.
You gave Charlie Hales a letter?
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
My problem with...
Your problem with what's these people?
Yeah. How many people killed? Handicap.
How many people with handicaps have been killed?
Yeah. Please, I've had it.
All right. So I know this is budget time. It wouldn't take a stretch of the imagination to see how this relates. This is something that Laddie wrote with one of his staff, and I'm just going to read it. It's called Police and People Working Together. Why are the police sent to medical emergency calls with EMTs or paramedics? It makes sense that an officer should be available during such a call, but officers seem to lead in such situations, ready to shoot first and ask questions later. Let me play devil's advocate. This operating procedure is not a good idea. It doesn't work. People needing help can end up dead. According to various news sources, a man was possibly overdosing on heroin in the bathroom of the Red and Black Cafe in Portland, Oregon. The co-owner, John Langley, asked that only paramedics show up, not police officers. Later, he said, definitely the EMT and the ambulance driver could have handled it. I kind of feel like I don't know what they were doing there except maybe waiting to see if they could bust the person or something, and I am not down with that. Unquote. Is it any wonder that people with disabilities are afraid to call 911, especially if those disabilities include a speech impediment and or other communication difficulties? Since that includes me, I am compelled to do something about it. How do we fix this problem? How can the police be trained not to fear civilians? A week ago, I waved down a patrol car. The officer and I started to have a nice conversation until I asked, why are the police shooting so many unarmed people? Suddenly, the officer remembered he was on call and quickly drove off. That day happened to be the start of National Police Week, when folks are encouraged to show appreciation for law enforcement. That would be nice, except the police seem to want us to be afraid of them. In April of 2014, a Texas sheriff's deputy shot and killed a family's pet dog. That officer was immediately fired. When has similar action been taken against police who fatally shoot unarmed people? In April and May of 2014, two different memorial services were held for a canine named Mick, slain in the line of duty. I care about animals. My cat, Heidi, is 14 years old. When she passes away, no city will hold any service for her. Neither the mayor nor the police chief will call with condolences. In my opinion, it's a shame that our society cares more for dogs than for humans. When I think of how to fix this problem, perhaps it is better to tear it all down and start fresh. By Letty Reed.
I want a question, please.
You have a question?
Yeah, Al.
Okay. Our time's up, so quick. What do you got?
Okay, thank you. No, we appreciate you coming in. We appreciate you. I hope you leave a copy of your letter for us.
We
thank
left
you.
It. Yeah.
Yes, please. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
I do, okay.
I want a question, please. Al.
You have a question?
Yeah.
What?
You
gotta ask.
What
are you gonna do?
Yeah, Al.
We're gonna read your letter and we're gonna get back to you. Thank you.
That's what he's really good at, getting back to people.
Okay. Do you have others still signed up, Sue?
That's all.
Okay. Anyone else that would like to testify? If not, then we'll close the public hearing and then bring our staff back up and reopen it for council discussion or for a motion if we're ready.
So, Mayor, could you state on the record your reasons for funding the position for equity in police, despite three other bureaus having funded equity positions within their current resources?
I'll put it simply. I think the police bureau is making great progress, but I want to make it clear that the commitment to equity in this bureau is something that the council supports and that we're prepared to support with not only rhetoric, but dollars. Again, we cut dozens of positions out of this bureau in the previous budget. We're adding back one. Budgets are values turned into dollars. And if you look at this budget overall, I think you see some values from this council, yours included, that we're expressing well. We're taking care of vulnerable people. We have a strong focus on kids. We've made a commitment to planning. And we've made a commitment to equity. We haven't been able to do everything that all of us would like to do in a budget that only adds half of the dollars back, or less than half of the dollars back, that we cut last year. But I think, as I said earlier, both the substantive and the symbolic value of adding a single position to the Fire Bureau for safety and a single position to the Police Bureau for equity is a way that this council expresses its values in dollars.
Thank you. And I appreciate that, and I agree that there's a lot in this budget that I like a lot. I'm concerned about the Office of Equity and Human Rights and the testimony we heard from the Portland Commission on Disability. And in particular, you and I have had discussions about a mental health advocate, which if we were to fund the administrative position in the Office of Equity and Human Rights, that could perhaps be a dual function of that new staff person. So I'm wondering, it's $61,000. I'm wondering if there's anywhere that we could find the money to fund that administrative position, which would help the tiny Office of Equity and Human Rights.
Well, you're not the only one that's raised this concern. In fact, the director of the agency is here. Dante is doing a great job, as is his team. I manage that bureau, and I'm not insensitive to that need. I'm not interested in amending that position into the budget now, but I am interested in continuing that discussion and looking for opportunities to give this bureau, this agency, the Office of Equity, the support it deserves. So again, we've added back 42 positions after cutting 142. I'm happy with where we are in terms of our return to improvement rather than decline in city services and in the support for what we do, but we couldn't do everything in this budget.
I'm going to support the budget, but I can't be true to myself and not move the amendment that we add $61,000 for an administrative position in OEHR, even if it's only one-time funding.
Is there a second? Thank you for raising the concern. Thank you. Okay, any further council discussion?
I just have a question for Andrew. Last year we had to cut very deeply. This year we had some surplus that we had to allocate. Which was a harder budget cycle?
I think cutting services is always extremely difficult because of the impact on some of those frontline. Adding can be difficult as well, particularly when you cut almost 6%, which is what the council did in the 13-14 budget. We now have about 2.5% to add back. And so, well, that's better news. As the mayor has mentioned, you know, we're not adding back everything that was cut. In fact, not even really getting close. And that was just the 1 year of cuts. If you go back through the entire recession, you know, bureaus took multiple cuts. So,
fair enough. Further discussion or a motion to approve?
And actually, if there are no other changes, you can move straight to a vote on the approval.
All right. Then, if there are no other proposed amendments, then we'll take a roll call on the budget as amended.
Fish.
Well, this is the end of a long process, and I want to begin by thanking Mayor Hales for his leadership in guiding us to this point. Not only did you skillfully balance the competing demands of your colleagues and city bureaus, but you also brokered a realignment package with Acting Chair Marisa Madrigal, which does some very significant work around realignment and putting some programs both the city and the county care about on more solid footing. And I think you appropriately incorporated feedback that we received from our budget hearings in the final proposal that you submitted. So let me begin by offering you my thanks and kudos. There are a number of procedural changes that we did this year that I think were important and we should build on. One of them was using these terrific facilitators in our budget forums. And I hope that becomes a baked-in part of our budget process. I think the benefits were manifest, but I think in particular, I think the public felt that they were heard better with neutral facilitators guiding our processes. I hope we continue to do that. And I also want to say that we got a lot of positive feedback from the rate review hearing, which I think will now become a regular part of our diet every year, where we'll go out in the community this year of Park Rose to explain how we do rate making. This budget, which we're about to approve, reflects some very significant council values as well as some things that I hold very dear. And I want to just acknowledge the additional $100,000 for economic development that was placed in the final budget that you submitted, which ensures that we can do investments in neighborhood prosperity without cannibalizing existing programs. The additional $100,000 for fair housing, which responds to an overwhelming message we heard from the community, and particularly Community Alliance of Tenants. Full funding of the tree code, which, Dan, is about 3 years in the making, I think, and I think is a milestone. Commissioner Fritz, thank you for your tenacious leadership in pressing that, and Mayor, thank you for funding it. Putting $250,000 back in the budget for RAC with a budget note that asks us prospectively to address their funding under contract and policy, I think, is appropriate. The additional funding for Sun Schools is reflected in the grand bargain that you structured with the county. The additional money for housing, particularly the placing short-term rent assistance on more solid footing, which, in my opinion, is our most successful investment in affordable housing. Re-upping the East Portland Action Plan, which has been such a productive vehicle for engaging our friends and neighbors in East Portland. I could go on and on, but there are some terrific things, and also through the budget deal, placing senior rec on stable footing. So in this, finally, in this budget cycle, older adults didn't have to come beg to have those vital programs funded. They will be funded with ongoing money at a higher rate, hopefully in perpetuity. So thank you, Mayor, and thank you, colleagues, for what for me has been a very enlightening and productive and I think positive budget process. To our independent budget office, to Andrew and your team, thank you very much for your good work. You're an independent budget office, meaning that you give us your best advice, and sometimes we accept it and sometimes we don't. But because you're independent, we know that you're always giving us your best advice. And I cannot think of a reform in the last few years that's had a bigger impact.